Y'all quieted down very quickly. I was really expecting me to have to go, ladies, come on back. What is happening? What is happening right now? Women, I know y'all can talk. So what in the world? Are y'all tired this morning? It's what? Oh, y'all are sweet and so kind. All right, let's just do this. Y'all ready? Let's do this. All right, so I'm sure some of you saw the Facebook post about what we're talking about this morning. Who did not see it? Okay, we need y'all to get with the program and get on Facebook, check your emails, because this stuff really is important, and here's why. We don't post those things just for fun's sake. We post them to prepare you. We post them to prepare your heart so that maybe you can ask God, all right, God, like, what do you have for me through this? Like, this sounds good to me. You know what? My friend might really dig this. I need to call her on the phone and tell her to get her behind in this chair. Amen, somebody? I needed to be called at one point or another or still in my life from my friend who knows that something is going to help me. So that's why we do that. But this is what we're talking about today, reasoning with God through the why. Any of y'all had a why moment? Okay, this is where you participate. Where's the hands? Okay, so for those that didn't want to raise their hands, you lying. Like, I'm just going to call a spade this morning. I'm going to give you one more shot. How many of you have had a why moment with your walk with the Lord? See, that's so much better. See, it makes me feel like I'm normal. I need to feel normal up here because we're just going to have a discussion this morning. Is that okay? We're just going to have a little talk about the why because I've had a few in my life, and I want to walk you through a few of those because I've learned a thing or two in my why moments, and I hope that this will help you the next time you have a why moment, because how many of y'all know when you walk out of here, you might be like, oh, Lord, why? Right? Oh, Lord, why is my tire flat? You've got to be kidding me this morning. Oh, Lord, why did my child just puke all over the floor and he just drank milk? That's gross, right? There's all sorts of whys. So I was doing some research and, you know, Google is amazing. I was typing in all sorts of things like stories on why, like surely there's got to be why stories out there. There wasn't a whole lot. And I just don't know if that's just not something to blog about, like not fun or what in the world. But y'all bloggers out there, if you're a blogger, do that because you'll get some traction because there's not a lot out there. So, but here's one thing I found. Let's see if this thing works for me. How many of y'all heard? Yes. How many of y'all heard about Arthur Ashe? Anybody know about this guy? A few of you? Well, I did not know anything about him. I asked my husband last night, if you don't know Shane Eklund, he is a wealth of random knowledge. Like, he's like Google. I can be like, Shane. He's like, yes, I know about this. I'm like, what in the world? How do you know this stuff? He's an avid reader. I'm not. So maybe that's why he knows things that I don't. But this guy was a tennis player. This is Wimbledon of 75 that's on the screen. He died from AIDS because he got a blood transfusion from him having a heart attack. This was before those kinds of tests were taken. So he contracted AIDS and he died from it. When he was going through this is what he said. He had like millions, I guess, of letters, and this was before the internet, so it was handwritten letters. And somebody said to him, why did God have to select you for such a bad disease? And to this he replied, this is super cool. 50 million children started playing tennis. 5 million learned to play tennis. 500,000 learned professional tennis. 50,000 came to circuit. 5,000 reached Grand Slam. 50 reached Wimbledon. 4 reached the semifinals. 2 reached the finals. And when I, Arthur, was holding the cup in my hand, I never asked God, why me? Happiness keeps you sweet. Trials keep you strong. Sorrows keep you human. Failure keeps you humble. Success keeps you glowing. But only faith keeps you going. So now that I'm in pain, how can I ask God, why me? I didn't ask God, why me, when I was winning. How can I now ask him why me that I'm in pain? I thought that was a really cool perspective because I know in my life when I've had wins, I know later in my walk with Christ, I thank him and I'm like, yes, Lord. But I too have been there, where I've been on the mountain and I haven't said, why me? Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? It's a sobering thought. So all have wondered why. Many wonder why the other. People look at me, and I'm obviously in a chair. For those of you listening online, my name is Faith Eklund, and I use a wheelchair, just so I can give you a visual. That's funny. You all need to laugh. Oh, my word. This is going to be a tough one. All right. When I make a funny, you can laugh. Like, it's really okay. I laugh at myself. If I don't laugh at myself, I ain't getting through life, period. So I need you to help me by laughing with me. Maybe not at me, just with me. I think that this, oh my gosh, here I go, down a rabbit trail. But I was thinking about this with the Lord the other day. I think when I get to heaven, because I think he's super funny, because I'm funny, so he should be funny, right? I think he's going to look at me and say, I didn't laugh at you. Like, I was just laughing with you. Like, can you just see that? I can. That's going to be fun. So we all ask why. We all wonder why. We all look at each other like, oh my gosh. So back to what I was saying, people look at me and go, oh, why did that happen to her? I get that all the time. Why do you think that happened to you? That's a question that's posed to me often. I got nothing for you. If you want to ask me that question, I'm just going to put it out there. I have no answer for you. I know that it wasn't my sin of my past that brought me to this place. I know that it wasn't the sin of my grandfathers that brought me to this place. I don't know why things happen to people. Nobody ever on this side of heaven will be able to answer that fully. Yes? So for the future, like, maybe just not ask that question to people that have had obvious things that have happened to them, because it's a question nobody can answer. People also look at me and they'll say, verbatim, man, life could be worse. And I'm like, well, okay, it could very well be worse. The funniest things come out of people's mouths when they don't know what to say to people. The best advice is just to not say anything at all. Amen, somebody. It's just the truth. So we encounter why very early, right? When is, okay, I don't have kids, so y'all need to help me out here. How old are they when they start asking why? Two-ish, unless they're really bossy and they start at one, right? So they start asking why. They're very curious at a really early age. And how many times do they ask why in a day? A million and 10, right? It's like more than you can count. As teenagers and young adults, we use it to fight for our independence, right? We use it more of like that thing that's behind us that I'm going to show you why, like, I need to be independent. As mature adults, we find asking this question rattles people and establishes order and sometimes is discouraged, like we shouldn't ask it. Has anybody been discouraged from asking why ever in their life? I know I have. There's been certain times, like in my adulthood, where I've been working and I felt like I just didn't have the open door maybe to ask the question why. That's a really tough place to be in. When you feel like you just can't get it out, when you can't figure it out, when you can't work through it, when you can't like work it out to the effect of really understanding, right? Here's the cool thing, is we have a God that allows us to do this, right? Can we go back to like our first session and remember what Isaiah 1:18 says? Can you all see that? Can we read this together out loud? Yes? Okay, ready? Come now and let us though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Okay, so that was like the very first scripture that we were shared at the beginning of our time together this season, right? Everybody remember this? So some cool translations that I saw. Come, let us have an argument together. I love that because I'm all about a good argument. Not because I want to win. Sometimes I do. But because I just like the argument. I don't want to yell at each other. I just want to like hash it out. Come, sit down. Let's argue this out. Come, let's discuss this now. So first he's saying come. And in all these translations, it's first come. So we have to go to the Father. But then he's inviting us to hash it out, which is super cool. But here's the other thing with this verse. So I highlighted it in red. So you see the very beginning, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. That's the first part. But really the meat of this comes at the latter half of this verse. And it's, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. So what does this mean? This means that when we come and we reason with the Lord, it's not to change him. It's not to win. It's not to have the leg up, but it's to change something in us. There's something in us that needs to change when we come and we reason with the Lord. What are some reasons why you go and you reason with the Lord? Come on, shout it out, like just something. Why do you go and hash things out? What are the feelings that are inside of you?
Understanding.
What else?
Fear.
Fear. That's a good one. What else? Frustration.
Totally.
Justice. Yes. Anything else?
Insecurity.
That's a good one. Sadness. Yes. Anybody else?
It's just not
fair. Those are all really good. Like, we don't trust it, right? There's something we don't trust. We need evidence of something. We need to be convinced of something. Reasoning with God is great, and it's wonderful, and he's called us to do it, and he's invited us to do it. But we have to remember, and I think we just talked about it in worship, that it's his will that needs to be done in order for us to come and reason through it and get what we need, right? It's his will be done, not my will be done. I'm not coming and arguing this thing out with you because I think my way is right. I'm coming because I have all of this stuff built up in me and I need to work through it, God. But ultimately, your will be done. That's in John 5:14. So here's two things that we need to remember. If you guys walk away with, is you guys okay? Or do you need me to say y'all? Y'all? Oh my gosh. Y'all. Okay. Y'all, if there's two things you need to walk away with this morning and you remember nothing else, here's the first thing, his sovereignty. Can y'all say his sovereignty?
His sovereignty.
Okay, so his sovereignty. What does the word sovereign mean? Anybody have any words? Control. Huh? He's got this. Somebody else said something? We need a ruler. He's a ruler, king. Yep. So God is in control. So the way that my mind works, and I have gone to people about this, and my friends know that, I think you and I, Chris, have talked about this. My brain is, oh, girl, Lacey, you and I have had many discussions on my brain and your brain. My brain, I just don't feel like it operates fully, and I forget things really easily. This is funny. See, Donna Boone's laughing because she knows it's true. My brain just doesn't, I feel like it doesn't fire on all cylinders, so I don't remember things well. And so sometimes I have to just dumb it down for my brain to remember it. So his sovereignty, God is in control. That's all I need. God is in control. And we're going to get to scripture, and we're going to get to the reasons behind why he's told us he's sovereign. But all you need to know is God is in control. Period. So I don't know if y'all can read those, but here's a few scriptures for you about that. Revelation 21:6, God is above all things and before all things. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is immortal. He is present everywhere so that everyone can know him. Colossians 1:16, God created all things and holds all things together, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. Romans 11, God knows all things past, present, and future. There is no limit to his knowledge, for God knows everything completely before it even happens. Thank God for that. Jeremiah 32:17, God can do all things and accomplish all things. Nothing is too difficult for him, and he orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life, in my life, in America, throughout the world, everywhere. He orchestrates it. Psalm 103, 19, God is in control of all things and rules over all things. He has power and authority over nature, earthly kings, history, angels, and demons. Even Satan himself has to ask God's permission. Amen. So there's all sorts of scripture that we can use to back up his sovereignty, but all you need to remember is God is in control. That's the first thing. And the second thing is our faith. Can you say our faith? Not this faith. It's not capitalized. But our faith in God. So here's the deal. Here's my dumbed down version. God exists. God loves me. Therefore, I trust him. That's it. That's it. So his sovereignty and our faith. You got those two things? All right. So I'm just going to leave this picture up here for a minute. I'm not going to get to that just yet. But this is some of my friends back home in Seattle. And she is a warrior like I've never seen. And I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit. But I just want to leave their picture up there because it brings comfort to me. Because this is where this whole idea of reasoning with God through the why originated. I'm going to tell you my testimony, but I just want you guys to prepare your hearts that this is about this story this morning. So you got that? This is the Koch family, and they're beautiful, and they're my friends. And I just want you to prepare your hearts for that. But I'm going to share my story, just a little bit of it. How many of y'all have heard my testimony? I apologize for those that have heard it already. But I'm just going to do a brief rundown of my story that God has been so sweet to give to me. I was 16 years old, and I was a basketball player, a fast pitch player, a runner, a skier. Anything that I could do actively, I would do. I worked two jobs. I was pretty good in school. I wasn't like a no straight A genius, but I did well. I was always trying my hardest to do things excellent and be the best at things. And when I was 16 years old, I was working at a amusement park, a water park, and I met people that I shouldn't hang out with. And one night I decided to go to a party, and because I was the responsible adult I thought that I was, we decided to stay the night there because there was going to be alcohol and other things there that nobody should be partaking in, but we chose to. So we stayed the night there. That next morning, we got up to leave to go to work, all of us together in a car. There was three of us. We worked at the same venue. We got up that morning and left, and we felt fine. Everything was good. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. And we got in the car. I opened the sunroof. Nope, I take that back. I opened my window, and my friend was in the back seat, and we were driving. We weren't talking. And she said, "Hey, Faith, do you mind rolling up the window, maybe just opening up the sunroof? I'm getting a lot of hair, or wind in my hair." I said, "Sure, no problem." So we did that. I was in the front seat. I wasn't driving. A friend of mine was driving, and a friend of mine was in the back seat. And we got on the highway, and in about, I would say about 2 minutes, life changed. I saw the backside of the car starting to come this way, around the front of the car, and my immediate reaction was, oh no, like the window is about to break. So I put my hands up in my face, thinking that the glass was gonna shatter, and I pulled my knees up to my chest, and I just was ready for the hit. The next thing I knew is I bounced from my seat up, and I hit my head on the lip of the sunroof, and I flew out of the car. And then I passed out. I woke up on the side of the road hearing all sorts of things, clamoring, screaming, ambulances, a woman in my ear asking me to wake up. There was just so much going on. And I laid there at like total peace. I asked, where are my friends? Are they okay? Call my mom. I was super coherent. And the lady behind me was like, "Faith, stay with me. I just need you to keep talking to me." And I told her, "I'm so tired. Like, I really just want to go to bed." And she was like, "No, it's not happening." So she kept tapping me, keeping me awake. And the next thing she said was, "Hey, are you ready to go for a helicopter ride?" And I was like, literally, "Oh my gosh, I've never been in one before. I'm super excited." I'm not kidding when I say that came out of my mouth. So I flew to the hospital, and it was a trauma center in Seattle, Washington. And I lived in the burn unit for 2 or 3 days because there was no room for me at the inn. So if you can imagine the smells and the things that were happening in that room, aside from the fact that I was suffering a spinal cord injury, you can imagine. The very first person that I remember seeing when I kind of came to is my grandma, my sweet grandma who's in heaven now. And she looked at me and she said, "You are so beautiful." And I was on this bed that would turn, and I had this thing up to my neck and a halo on my head, and I was wrapped in gauze, and I was like, "How can you say that?" And she was like, "God preserved you. There's not one tooth missing. There's not a scratch on your body. My God is good." And I didn't really understand all that she was saying at that time, but it has always stuck with me that God preserved me. So remember that, God preserved me. So I lived there for about a week and a half, and I didn't really know the brevity of my accident until one day when a nurse walked in the room and she told me, and my mom who was sitting there, because nobody really left my side. Somebody was always there. "Gosh, I'm so sorry that you're never going to ride a bike again. I'm so sorry that you're never going to da-da-da-da-da." And she went down the list, and I just remember hearing wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. And my mom, she's a mom. She puffed up like I've never seen. She stood up, got Mama Bear, and chased this woman out of the room. All I heard was this, like all the way down the hallway. And I was just laying there in my bed going, "What just happened?" Like, my mom is about to fight. I know that. And if you know my mama, she will fight. Like, she ain't afraid to fight. She chased that woman, and all I heard were screams down the hallway, like, "How dare you tell my daughter that she'll never ride a bike again? How dare you?" And like, just kept, I could just see her finger at her. And their sounds just kind of dissipated. And I laid there by myself in a room that I had really never been alone in. And I couldn't move. When I first got into my accident, I could barely shrug my shoulders, y'all. So I laid there completely paralyzed with this thing on my neck that, even though like I could move my neck, I couldn't. So I laid there just desperate because I had no clue what just happened. And I had no clue what was about to happen from what I just heard. And as quick as my next breath, I can still close my eyes and see it. This amazing, bright, white, pure light shone upon the wall right in front of me because I couldn't see anywhere else. All I could see was right in front of me. I didn't see Jesus, but I saw the glory of the Lord come and fill my room. And I saw what seemed to be a shadow of Jesus. And he said, "Follow me, Faith, and I promise you that everything will be okay." And I thought, "Let's go." I said, "Let's go." And he kindly, sweetly, gently, daddy-like said, "Not yet. You're not coming with me yet. But I promise you, if you follow me, everything will be okay." And as quickly as you could blink your eye, it was gone. He was gone. The presence of the Lord was gone. And I fell into such an amazing deep sleep, and the peace of God just surrounded me. And at that moment, I said yes to him. I grew up Christian. I grew up in church. I grew up reading the scriptures and knowing his word, but I didn't know who he was. I lived my way vicariously through my grandma. She is a saint, and I'm so thankful for her. because she taught me and she trained me and she brought me up in the way that I should go. And his word is true. And what does his word say to those that you train up? Train up a child. And they will not depart. And she knew that. And it was there in that moment, in my bed, by myself, just me and the Lord, where I said, yep, let's do this. So we did this. And I moved to a new hospital where I lived for 4 months. And when I say to you, I never had a down day, from that moment, that would be a lie. Even though I had that amazing moment that he gave me, it still was rough. It still hurt. I still hated myself at times. I still wondered my way through a lot of things. But I really, truly didn't have but one day where I remember so clearly where I wouldn't get out of bed. I told the doctors I had a stomach ache. And they called me out. They were like, you're lying, but we'll give you one day. I had the best doctors and nurses. Thank you, doctors and nurses out there who push people, because without you, I would not be where I am. So thank you for that. But my doctor came in the room and said to me, pretty much you get one day before I drag you out of this bed and put you back to work. So you better enjoy your day. And I was like, whatever, 16 years old, rolled my eyes, get out of here. So he left, and I had a lot of time to myself that day. I remember going outside with my dad. They pulled me out of bed, and I was bawling, and I just said, who will want me? Like, I literally can't move. I'm in a marshmallow chair is what I called it, because it was just this huge, ugly thing. I had ACE bandages wrapped around my legs because of the swelling that needed to be pushed back up. I had tubes coming out of me all over the place. I had a brace on my neck. I looked terrible. I haven't showered in God knows how long. And I just didn't like myself. I didn't like where I was. And so I cried to my dad, and I didn't know why. And I was asking him why, and who was going to want me, and who wanted to be my friend anymore. None of my friends were coming to see me. Like, as far as I knew it, my life was done. He had no answer, rightly so. So I go back to my room that night and I'm by myself. At nighttime, I was always by myself, and that was the hardest time because I had to think, I had to be with myself. And there was nobody else to like talk to but me and God. And I was laying there and I was watching Three's Company. Y'all familiar with Three's Company? That was my favorite show in the hospital. I would just watch reruns over and over and over again. That night in my bed, I laid there probably through 5 or 6 episodes battling and wrestling with God, asking him why this happened to me. Why did you do this to me? Why did you allow all of this stuff to be taken from me? I can't feel my body. I can't move. I can't move my fingers. I was mad as a wet hen. And I was chasing him down. And I was like, you better answer me. I need an answer now. And he kept telling me, you better turn that television off. He's very bossy with me. And I said, no, like, I'm not turning it off. And he said, turn it off, turn it off. I said, no, I'm not. Back and forth through 6 episodes. Finally, I went to go turn off the television and I went to go grab my remote control. And I had to do it like this because I had no dexterity in my fingers. So there was none of that anymore either. I went to grab it, and what do you do when you go grab a remote control? What's the automatic thing you do? Right? You click it. I went to grab it and I clicked it and I was like, there, I turned it off. And it was like one of those moments. I was like, rewind. Like, what did I just do? I couldn't do this before that. And when I finally let it sink in and I was like, oh my gosh, like,
I just moved my thumb for the first time in 3 months. And as quickly as I could, I don't know, it felt very quick, but maybe it wasn't. He said to me again, very bossy, I told you that if you would follow me, everything would be okay. I bawled my face off. I repented. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I forgot the promises that you gave me. Me. He showed up and he spoke to me and I forgot it. We read the Bible all the time and we go, how did these people forget? Like, because we forget. So after that moment, I thanked God and I wanted to turn my television back on and I went to go reach back over to do that because it was just comforting to have the television on. And a light went on from underneath my bed that was next to me. I was alone in a room that should have had another person but didn't. And a light went on and I got nervous yet again. And I called for the nurse. I'm like, dude, you need to come in here. There's a light I've never seen. She comes in, she moves the bed back and she's like, there's no light in here. As soon as she left and the door closed behind her, the light went back on. The comforting light that I needed, not the television, but the light of God filled my room. And I went back to sleep and I had the second best night's sleep of my life. And when I tell you that God and I wrestled through the why that night for hours, we did. But my wrestling was not with the intent of a malicious heart. I pray it wasn't. It wasn't with the intent of, I'm right and you're wrong. It was an intent of, I just need to know why. I've got to have some form of why this happened because this is hard and I'm sad. And I don't like the way that I feel right now. I don't like myself. I don't feel beautiful. I don't feel like a daughter. I feel like trash. I feel like you just kind of sloughed me to the side and said, good luck. I feel all by myself. I feel like I'm on an island. Nobody else gets this. Nobody understands what my family is going through. This isn't just affecting me, but it's affecting everybody around me. I can't do anything by myself. I can't brush my teeth. I can't wash my hair. I can't go to the bathroom. What am I supposed to do? I'm just supposed to lay here? Can you imagine that? 16 years old, reasoning with God, wrestling through the why. I'm so glad that we can. And I'm so glad that he shows up and that he speaks to us right when we need him to. He's so faithful. So, so faithful. So that is like a glimpse into my story. And there has been, y'all, we could sit here for hours and I could tell you stories upon stories. But I promise this, and I am telling you this, knowing and believing this is not a lie, that I have not had another one of those moments with God. They've been different. Because he allowed me to wrestle that hard one out with him and he gave me his promise, I've never been the same. There are still days where it is harder than hard to be rolling around in this thing. Somebody said to me, you make it look really easy, so I forget how hard life is for you sometimes. I don't want sympathy. I don't want anything. Like, if I could disappear when I'm in a room, I would. But I can't because God created me to stand out. So how can I dim down that light? I can't. And neither can you. But we're allowed to wrestle through it. So those moments, those days where it's hard and you're not sure why and you're still confused, reason through it. But are we believing in his sovereignty? And do we still have faith? Those are the two things that matter. If we're going at God with a bad heart, with one that believes that I'm right and he's wrong and I can change him, that's where sin comes into play. And that's where we need to be changed. That's where that your sins are like crimson and something needs to be switched in you, needs to happen. And that's okay. We have a good God and a merciful God that will. But the next time you go to reason God with God through the why, just ask yourself those two things. Not why me, but maybe ask God, how are you going to work through this thing with me? How are you going to make yourself known? I was reading a blog from Laura Story when I was studying, and that was her question, was how can you make God known? How can his glory shine through your why? So the next time you want to ask why, maybe just say how. Change your verbiage. It might just work. When I was reading that blog, no kidding, my mom calls me, and she's like, Faith, you won't believe this. There was a woman that came and cleaned my house, and she was there at a church that you went and spoke to, and she saw your picture and just started bawling. And I was like, why are you crying? And she just told her the story about how she didn't understand walking with God until she met me. Because of a song that I wrote, it's called I Want to Walk With You. She said, I had that song on repeat for days and days. And when I need to remember that I need to walk with him, I turn that song on. At first I saw the song and I thought, oh, that's sweet. Like she's in a chair and she wants to walk with God. That's what she thought. But then she heard what God had to share through me. And she said, I got it. It has nothing to do with her physically walking with God and everything to do with her spiritually walking with him on this side of heaven until she gets to do it on the other side. That's the how. God will show you how you have impacted his kingdom in the most bizarre, cool moments when you don't even expect it to happen. How cool is that? So let's get back to these people. This is my why for doing this. This is my friend Sarah Koch and her husband Sheldon and her beautiful kids. This is my pastor back home. We helped them start a church about 7 years ago in Tacoma, Washington. I was the worship leader. Shane was kind of the everything guy for them. And these are our friends. My friend Sheldon went to see Jesus about a little over a month ago, unexpectedly, while they were on a cruise with their whole family. Sheldon suffered a massive heart attack in Sarah's arms. Kids in the room. They had to figure out how do I get off this boat? How do I hold my family together in a time, Sarah, where I just want to fall apart? When I heard the news, my automatic response was, what? Why? Why would you take a man who is doing so much for your kingdom right now? Why would you take a man with four beautiful little kids? Why would you take a man who is changing his community, radically changing this community? It is not Franklin, Tennessee, y'all. This is a dark place that struggles with believing in Jesus, and he was changing it for the kingdom. Why would you take him? And as the days went on, and people were sharing their stories about Sheldon, the most beautiful things came out of it. And I began to hear the Lord and began to hear him whisper to my heart, though you won't understand this side of heaven. And it's not for you to understand this side of heaven. Why? But I want to share with you my friend Sarah's Job story. Because in a moment where she should be on her back, locked in a room, mad at God, mad at the man that is now not with her, just mad, She's chose joy from the very get-go. And there has not been one moment that I have heard her say, why me? Why now? Why God? I'm mad at you. These are her words, and I want you to hear them. So this picture is of Sheldon 4 hours before he went to heaven. And this is so his personality, so beautiful. But 4 hours she took this picture. She says, Shelly, this was 4 hours before your homecoming. Sheldon and I were on a Caribbean cruise with our four babes, my mama and his parents, brother and sister-in-law. It is the only vacation us Cokes had ever taken together in 20 years. It was last day at sea, and Sheldon had just played like a dang stud in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. The ironic thing is I had rallied our entire crew to come cheer him on. Our last tribe gathering was cheering on our chief. Can you even believe that? Not more than 10 minutes later, I would find my beautiful husband collapsed in the shower. He had experienced a massive heart attack. We learned yesterday Sheldon was born with an undetected enlarged heart. Friend, Sheldon died because his heart was too big. Isn't that just so him? No wonder his life and his death is shattering the internet and all of our guts. We just lost the greatest man ever. Oh, that I got to be his bride. Thank you, Jesus. Lastly, many are astounded by my response and strength. Guys, what you are witnessing and the gift I am experiencing is this. I have Jesus. His word and promises are true. He really has been my comforter. He honestly has delivered 150% on his promises. Guys, I really have built my life upon the solid rock, and now that all else is sinking sand, I really won't go down. The Holy Spirit is real. God's plan for my life is good, and I am living in proof that my Jesus has been rallying on my behalf since February 24th, and he will not stop. All of us will die one day. You will be in my shoes one day. My greatest prayer for you today is this. I pray you will start to know my Jesus or link arms with him like you never knew you could. There's a beautiful peace, joy, and love. It is unbelievable. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The world looks at her and says, she's going crazy. The world looks at her and says, wait, she's gonna have her moment. I look at her and I grab strength. And I grab the Jesus that lives in her and says, if she can do this thing, you better believe so can I. We all are gonna have these things, these troubles, these trials, mishaps, struggles. Because his word said, in this life, we will have them. It was never meant to be easy. Ever, never. There's beauty in our brokenness. In our weakness, he is made so strong. But what we do with that weakness is what matters. Are we gonna hollow up in a corner and just go, woe is me? And call my girlfriend and just complain every single day for a year? If you're my girlfriend, I'm gonna tell you to stop. Because A, I don't wanna hear it anymore. B, I want you to move on. And C, I want you to live in victory over your situation. Life is gonna hurt so hard. Like it's gonna be not fun at times. And be such a beautiful, radical, amazing gift to others. Even in my friend's homecoming, there's beauty in it. There's joy in it. I'm learning who Jesus is still through my pastor. He said, that's a quote from him, what if we got really good at suffering? I was reading my Bible, and in Job, right before we left to move here, that's what he said to me. What if we got good at it? What would that look like in your life? If you got so good at suffering that others around you started asking questions. Like, how are you doing this? I need to know more about whoever you're seeing laying on the couch talking to, who is it? And the only answer you have for them is Jesus. Wow, that's powerful, is it not? So in this time, Sarah's remembering God's sovereignty and the faith that she has in him, that he exists, that he loves her, and therefore she's gonna trust the snot out of him, even when the why is not answered. Faith is an integral part to this whole thing. And we've probably all heard the Hebrews 11, right? The substance of things hoped for, the absence of things seen. What is the opposite of faith in your life? Can somebody shout out what the opposite of faith might be?
Fear.
Fear. What else? Doubt. Anybody else? What if I was to say the opposite of faith is certainty? Because see, when I have faith in my God, I know that I'm gonna walk again. I don't know when. It could be right now. I could jump right there off this little stair and I'd be gone, just so you know. I'd be gone. She gone. It might happen in a month. It might not happen as I'm here on earth. It might not happen until I see him face to face. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's going to happen because of him. I can't do it without him. See, the opposite of faith is knowing and believing in what I know. It's my certainty. It's my belief. It's what I can tangibly touch and feel and know because it's right in front of my face. That's certainty. That's doing it without him. And that is the opposite of faith. We use faith very flippantly these days. Blind faith, a woman of faith. We hear it all the time. There's songs about faith. We need to get back to the heart of faith and really, truly believe in the things that are unseen. And not be certain. When we're certain in things, like if God asked me to do something and I was certain that I could do it, it's probably not God asking me to do it. Because he asks that we fall back on him, that we go in his power and might, not our own. So was I certain that I could get up here this morning and clarify the things that I wanted to clarify? Absolutely not. I just said, Jesus, take the wheel. I know what you've given me, and I'm just going to pour it out as an offering. And I pray that he speaks to your heart the way that you need to be spoke to this morning. I pray that he illuminates the things in your own heart that need to be illuminated this morning. And that you walk away better knowing him, not me. Better knowing the one that came and died and rose again for you, so that you could have eternal life, so that you could walk through this life in victory and not in defeat. So that you could walk away with your head held high no matter what you're gonna trip over today, no matter what puke you're gonna find in the hallway, no matter what could be, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. See, faith doesn't wait on an outcome, it's an outlook. It does not wait on an outcome, it is an outlook. It is beyond the human sphere. It sees beyond physical senses. The limited realm of human reasoning can damage our faith. Y'all, if you try so hard to understand and all you want to do is understand, you are going to limit your faith. It can damage it. It's so good to know and be knowledgeable in all of those things. I'm a fan of learning. But I need to know when enough is enough. And just, I just need to rely on my God. So why ask why? It's not to assign blame, but to understand what his priorities are so we can properly submit ourselves to those priorities and hear his voice. When we go to the Father and we reason through the why, we want to hear God. We don't want to hear ourselves cry. We want to hear the voice of our Father. There's sources for sound reasoning. Y'all, the Bible is our source. Amen, somebody? That's where we go to when we need to reason through something. That's where God speaks always. Now when they passed through Amphipolis, I think, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from Scripture. When you need to reason through something, you go to God's word. And you look up God's promises and you look up the things that you need to reason in your heart and you meditate and you pray on those things. And you hear what God has to say in his living word. So there's a few more scriptures I want to leave you with, and I'm going to have some of my friends read them to you. I want this to just kind of wash over you, because this is how big, this is how good he is, how beautiful he is. So let's start with Psalm 147:5. Who's got that one? All right, my friend.
Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite.
Isaiah 55:8.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water to the earth, and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it.
Yes. Proverbs 3:5-6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Isaiah 40:28.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
John 16:33.
Jesus is speaking, and it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
John 20:29.
Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they believe.
Yes. Proverbs 19:21. Last one.
Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Yes. Yes. I mean, just hearing that stuff just wash over you, doesn't that give you a little bit of clarity and a little bit of breathing room that it's not our job to understand, it's his? I encourage you to go to Job and read chapter 38 and 39. And read how God responds to Job. It's an incredible story. You can also go to Habakkuk and read that story. It's a great story of questioning. I mean, I went through and I circled all the questions, all the whys. And I just was like, yes, Lord, thank you for people of the past, real people, that make me feel more normal, right? So God is good, he is worthy, he is sovereign, and he's given us everything we need to make this life right. Everything. So regardless of the whys that we're traipsing through, or the whys that come our way, we remember his sovereignty and our faith. And I promise you, he promises you that you're going to get through it. So can we pray? Father, we love you so very much. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it just washes over us and cleanses us and makes us just feel at peace and at ease and at knowing that you're a God of control and you're sovereign over all things. God, that you know the beginning from the end, that you're the one that hung the stars in the sky. You're the one that has told the ocean when to stop. Those are things, God, that we humans cannot fathom. And quite frankly, God, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you're in control. I'm thankful that you have the wheel, that you drive it when we let you, and that you let us come and reason through the things that hurt us. You allow us to come to you boldly, sweetly, however we need to come to you. You let us just come. You just say, come. So, Father, would you continue to help us work through this in our lives? Our goal, God, is to become more like you from glory to glory to glory to glory. You are everything we want and more. We thank you for this time, this space that we can come together as your daughters and rub shoulders together, iron sharpening iron. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you for the freedom that's in this. Thank you that we get to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. Continue to move in us today, God. Be with us all the way through. Show us more of who you are today. We love you and we thank you, God, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies that arise through reasoning, through the why with you. You're a good father. You are a good daddy. And we're just going to fall back in your embrace and say, you got it. And we trust you. And that's it. We believe in you. We know you're sovereign. And we're going to just give it to you with open hands, God. Everything that we are, everything that we have, we hand off. Thank you for every sister in the house. Thank you for every sister that's listening to this online. May we take what you have given and receive it. The enemy has no room here. He cannot steal it. He cannot take it. In Jesus' name. Thank you again for your word, God. We love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, slap your sister and say amen, somebody. Amen.
Yeah, can we tell Faith thank you for her vulnerability and just, I just had to get up and say this because I'm a mama and I love the mama story about her chasing the chick down the hallway. Faith does ride a bicycle, y'all.
Yes, I do.
I wish I had a picture of it up here, but Faith does ride a bicycle. Just wanted to close with
that's
that.
Right.
Go and be blessed. You guys have a great week.
See y'all.